Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the epistle lesson of the day, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and temporary residents in the world, to abstain from the desires of the sinful flesh, which war against your soul. Live an honorable life among the Gentiles, so that even though they slander you as evildoers, when they observe your noble deeds, they may glorify God on the day he visits us. This is our text. Dear people of God, our vicar is here for 1 year. This is the third year of his seminary training. He's not a pastor yet, and will not be until a year from May, if the Lord wills that. But there is no staying here, no matter how much you may like him. And after he leaves us, there is a very good chance that most of you will never see him again until we all get together in heaven. And that's all on purpose. For he is not what he will be. And that's important. He is still learning. And we are all part of his education. He is here to study and to learn and to make mistakes. He's supposed to mess up here, make his mistakes here, so that when he gets his own church, he knows what not to do. And his mistakes won't stand in the way of the message that he brings to his people of his church. What he will be is not what he was, not even what he is now. But when he is a pastor, he will be something else. And the last thing he needs is any of us showing up, reminding him of what he was. And that's a pretty good picture of us also in the eyes of God. We are something else. We are not what we were. Peter then also tells us what we can do now, that we are something different, and what it will accomplish. What we were was people who were outside of God's grace and mercy, Peter says. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Now, Peter doesn't mean any one of you as an individual, although this can fit some people's lives. What Peter's talking about is us as the human race. When Adam and Eve went running to that tree for the forbidden fruit, they doomed us all to lives of sin, to death, and to hell. Don't ever be surprised at the awful choices that people make in the world, because they are only acting like our first parents acted. But when Adam and Eve chose sin and the desires of the flesh rather than serving God and his word and his blessings, they put themselves and us outside of God's grace and mercy. Don't let anyone ever say that God is not fair in sending people to hell. For hell is what we all deserve, just by being born into this sinful race of people. What's not fair is that you get to escape that awful fate by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, your Savior. That's what's not fair, that God saves you. You with the covetous and greedy and lustful and doubting and faithless hearts. God was merciful to you, who have done nothing to deserve his mercy. That's unbelievable. And it literally is to most people. For most people have no understanding of the undeserved mercy of God. And fewer yet put their faith alone in it. Never stop being shocked and amazed that God saves you, that God was merciful to you, that God sent his holy and perfect Son into this world to suffer and to die for you. Never stop being amazed at what God calls you, not what you are, not what you have earned, but simply what God declares you to be because of his great love. God has declared you to be his chosen people, Peter says. And yeah, that is the term that used to be used for God's Old Testament Israelites. His chosen people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God chose them to be his very own, a strange but blessed people in the world. What did they do with that title? They threw it away. And they threw away their Savior, as they saw to it that the one who had been promised to them for thousands of years was crucified and buried. They are no longer his chosen people. That ship has sailed. God now calls you his chosen people. And he chose you a long time ago, before your birth. Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God knew and chose you, not because you're good, not because you're cute, but only because of his mercy, which we were outside of. See, God's mercy is so great, it can even cover you. God has declared you to be a royal priesthood, meaning that you can go to God anytime with any request or any petition. See, that was not always the case. Now, for some reason, modern Christianity is enthralled with that Old Testament temple. So many churches name their churches after that temple, or they go looking for that temple, or they try to build their own, I've even heard of. But that temple was more of a hindrance for God's people's access to him than it was a blessing. For when people went to the temple in Jerusalem, they didn't get in. A, women and non-Jews were not allowed in at all. How many of us would that leave out? Only the Jewish men got to go into the temple, and then not even into the temple, they got to go into the courtyard. Only the priests got to go into the temple, and then not all the priests either. Only one priest got to go all the way inside of the temple, and that only once a year, covered in smoke and carrying blood. So much better is the arrangement that God has made with us now. For now, the Lord just considers all of us, men, women, and children, to be his holy priests. That means you can go to God anytime, wherever you are. You can just go to him in the night, go to him in the daytime, and you can ask anything. You don't need to go into a temple. You don't need to go through a pastor. You don't need to be carrying bull's blood. You, as Christian priests, can just pray to your Father in heaven in Christ's name that you wear every day. See, that's a good deal. God also has declared you to be a holy nation. And no, this is not the United States of America. The U.S. is not a holy nation. The U.S. is full of sin and wickedness and greed and hatred and violence. Oh, it has been very blessed by the Lord, but not because it's holy. The Lord blesses our nation because of you, because of his people who live inside of it. But there's nothing holy about America. The holy nation that Peter is talking about is you. Those of you who have Christ ruling in your hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not coming in a way that you can observe. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or look, there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. You are part of God's people. You are part of his eternal kingdom, his beloved church, whom he bled for and purified and saved, all through faith by grace. God has declared you to be his own possession. Now we're getting to the crux of it. What is it to be God's possession? What is it to be belonging to God? Well, Jesus said in the end of John 8, whoever belongs to God listens to what God says. And what would happen if we listened to what God says? Well, Peter fills us in. So that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ah, that's what we do. That's what you were chosen for, to proclaim his praises. You get it? God chose you, who did not deserve his choosing or mercy. He chose you to be his very own forever and ever. He picked you out of the sewer of sin, he cleansed you in the waters of baptism, and he made you his very own holy, beloved child. Now what? Now what should we do? How can we possibly say thanks for saving us without any effort on our side? Well, he doesn't ask you to go hide in a convent. He does not ask you to climb Everest in his name. Rather, he says this, proclaim his praises. But how? Well, Peter adds more. I urge you as aliens and temporary residents in the world to abstain from the desires of the sinful flesh. Stay away from sin. Fight sin. Don't sin publicly. Do nothing to give the enemies of the gospel the chance to say, oh, those Christians are all hypocrites. They say that they're holy and goody-goody, but I know Hank. He's as sinful, he's got as filthy a mouth as anybody. Holy? My eye. Be the holy people that God has declared you to be. The Lord did not clean you of the filth of this world just to have you go running back into it. Stay out of it. Don't be like them. We are very good at hiding among the heathen. We're very good at not letting anyone know that Jesus lives in our hearts. Be the sore thumb. Be the oddball. Be the one who doesn't join in every vice and temptation that this world has to offer. What will it accomplish? Well, maybe not much. Peter doesn't say you're going to save a bunch of souls by this. Now, maybe someone will ask you why you are the way you are, and then you can tell them about your dear Savior Jesus and what he has done for you. But all Peter says here is, live an honorable life among the Gentiles, so that even though they slander you as evildoers, when they observe your noble deeds, they may glorify God on the day he visits us. He doesn't say they'll be saved. Peter says that they will glorify God. And that might possibly be in their damnation. For the damnation of the heathen also brings glory to God, for it proves that his word is unbreakable. It says in John 3:18, the one who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God is glorified either way, with or without anyone's soul. Peter says that the Lord will be glorified by the unbelievers on the day of the Lord Jesus' return, in that the unbelievers will have to say, you Christians were different. You showed your faith. You Christians showed us that you had Jesus living in your heart. You were the people that Jesus cleansed you to be. That acknowledgement does not save their souls. Neither does it save our souls, our works. We're not saved by our works or by anyone else's. All our works do is they reveal what's already in our hearts. They reveal our love for our God and our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Our works in this world only show what a great God we have, who can even save me. Praise his name with your life and show to the world what a great God we have. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.